God's good, isn't he? Man, is he good. Blessed. Blessed are we. I love a sweet spirit, don't you? I do. Ronald, good to have you with us today. Do we call you Ron or Ronald? Ron. That's what Jennifer said. We could call her, not Ron, Jen. Everybody wants to shorten everything. Why do we do that, Jen? Don't know. But Ron, it's good to have you with us today. Just make yourself at home. And you're from Church Hill. Is that where they have the speeding camera? I can't go through there. I'll have to stay away from there, Ron. Because my car just goes. I mean, it's out. Everybody knows, so I might as well admit it, right? I do intend to go a couple miles over. Kay and I were coming back up yesterday, and she said, could we just ride leisurely? I said, honey, I'll set the cruise. So it's 70 on the interstate. You know that. And they allow 10. Is that correct? Then somebody's been lying to me. Maybe that's why they all know me so well. But anyway, for y'all's information, most of them do allow you that. You go over that and they're not so gracious. But is it 5 now? Oh, gosh. I hope there are no speed limits in heaven. That would be really heaven for me. I've always wanted to live close to the Autobahn. But today, we're here to worship. And I am so glad. I am so glad. In Acts chapter 9, if you would, we'll have the words behind me if you don't have your Bible. But if you do, you can follow along. You know this gentleman that we're going to be reading about. You know his name before he got saved and his name after he got saved. There are a lot of things change when you get saved. And this man, his whole life changed, plus his name. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now, though all those people wanted to be more like Paul, at this point in time, they don't want to be more like Paul. Because actually right here, he's not Paul. He's Saul. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, isn't that the way God works? And suddenly, there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Now, everybody's not had this experience when you got saved. This wasn't your experience. you would be sure to tell me what your experience was. I'm positive you weren't on the Damascus Road, and I'm positive that a great light didn't knock you to the ground, and you didn't hear a voice where no one was seen. You heard a voice, but this was an audible voice right here that others heard the same voice. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, a weird thing happened. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man. You're supposed to be able to see when you open your eyes, right? But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And watch this. This is really good. You may have never seen this before. Of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in. He's talking to Ananias. And he says, here's a man down here praying. And as he's praying, he sees a vision, and he sees you, Ananias, coming in. And putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. Lord, do you know who you're talking about? Oh, he knew who he was talking about. Ananias didn't know him. Ananias only knew what he'd heard. He didn't know him before, actually, and he didn't know what God was going to do with him. But you see, it's not what you were, it's what you're going to be. Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't all of us here today like for everybody to know everything about us in our past? Don't your eyes get big? Huh? Did I say everything? And you're saying, whoa, no, no. But here's a man who had just heard what Saul had done to these folks. But, and that's the biggie right there, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way. Don't you worry about it. I got this thing under control. He said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel to me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Conversion. It's real. It's real. If you've been converted from what you were as a sinner to a saved individual, you know, don't you? It's real. You may not be able to explain it. You may not be able to explain a thing about your relationship with God, but it sure is real. It sure is real. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord's blessings of this spiritual meal on us today. Our God in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for the scripture. Thank you for Paul's life. I thank you that there was a man named Saul, so that his name could be later changed to Paul because of what you did for him. I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you for everything you changed about him and everything you change about the person who is ready to commit their life to you and believe on you for their salvation. And I pray that today, Lord, everyone who is not able to be here in our congregation, that you'll be with them, especially for Fred and Fred's family, Linda and all the children, grandchildren. Lord, we just pray that you'll be there with them today. And Lord, just give them something today that will strengthen their life. And we'll praise you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, let me go back, because some of you are still wondering about me bringing Kay up the road. Right? Did you notice I went off on a little trail there and never got back? Well, anyway, I would set my cruise. I said, I'll set the cruise. And I set it on 75. And then I saw cars passing me. So I hit the little button and it went to 76. And I saw her head turn over when the car kicked in a little bit, you know. She notices every mile per hour. So at 76, there were still quite a few passing me. So I hit the button again and it went to 77. That happened again and I went to 78. It happened again and I went to 79. Now, you just don't mess with me out on the interstate. So when I got to 79, she said, "You're about to get there, aren't you?" But we had a good time at Vanderbilt and after Vandy, and we just it was a good weekend. And keep praying for her because she wants to be here next Sunday. Okay? Conversion. If you noticed in your bulletin today, the message is conversion of a sinner. Now, we know a lot about conversion. We have things in our lives called conversion vans. Y'all know about a conversion van? Well, that's a van that's built by Chevrolet or Ford or someone else, whom someone gets the idea, well, I can make that a lot better than what it is. In fact, I can totally convert that thing. It may look a little bit like it was, but it won't look a whole lot because I'm going to change that thing. And I'm going to change it. By the way, you can't change anything like that, just the outside, and it be a conversion van. If you change it on the outside, for it to be a true conversion van, it must be changed on the inside also. And I'll pause and let that carry a little message to you. Because if it's not converted on the inside, doesn't matter what the outside looks like, it's not converted. That's a conversion van. Now, how many of y'all have heard of conversion barns? Where a person takes a barn and converts it into a house. Now, Tom was a little young at the time, but we lived in a converted house to a barn. We slept in the loft. And we resided in stall number one. You know the stalls. Tom don't remember that, but it was... Oh, he does. Okay. That was up in Hampton. You know, up in Hampton, anything can happen. But a lot of people will take a barn, a nice barn, and they'll just change it inside and out. Remember, it has to be changed inside and out. But we're not talking about barns and vans today. That's just to get us on the right track, because we're talking about the conversion of a sinner. So in conversion of a sinner, I just happened to look up a few definitions because I'm a definition freak. I like to know what the definition says about it. I have an idea, but I like to know what it says because it gives me a little insight to what it really means. Now, if you've been converted, if you're saved today and you've been converted from a sinner to a saved person, you'll understand a lot of these things. You will. If you're not, maybe the Damascus Road experience wouldn't be a bad experience because maybe your spiritual eyes could be opened and you could see exactly what God intends for your life. But conversion, it is the adoption of new beliefs. The adoption. Now remember what happens in an adoption? That adopted one, let's say it's your adopted daughter or adopted son or whatever, they become just like a son or a daughter, right? They're adopted, but that's only a word that describes what they were and what they've become. So it's adoption of new beliefs, but it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, and it requires internalization of the new belief. Did you get that? Internalization. In other words, the conversion van just changed on the outside would not be a conversion van. It wouldn't. And you just to change the things on the outside will not make you a Christian. They won't make you saved. You do not have a relationship with God just by changing those bad habits and those things on the outside that are against the Word of God. It doesn't happen. Your new belief has to be internalized. And it has to be that belief has to be internalized so that it changes our life completely. So remember, it requires it. It's not an option. It requires it. I believe that's the reason we have so many people who can today use the word Christian in such a loose way. Like it's some sort of, like I'm a Jew or Christian or Buddhist or whatever. And that's not what the Bible states. We're not that. If you're a Christian, then you must have internalized that new belief, and that belief has to be the Word of God. You've internalized that so that it's changed your life. It is the turning of a sinner to God. The turning of a sinner to God. And that takes a complete turnaround because nobody has ever been born that was going toward God. We've always been born with that internal sin that takes us away from God. So to turn to God, we must make a complete turn and go toward Him. And that's what a converted person is going to do. The Jew or the Gentile, doesn't matter what you were, Jew or Gentile, but you're turning to Christianity and Christ. I wanted to add that in there because it's important that you know that Christianity is a word, Christ is a person. And so we're turning toward a person, not just a belief. So this takes place in us by the grace of God. I don't deserve what God does for me. I don't. I wish I could say, I've been so good, God, you ought to make a saint out of me because I'm a sinner and I want to be a saint. So I've been so good, I wish you'd just make me a saint. But that's not the way it works. But by His grace, His favor on me, even though I didn't deserve it, He changes me from the inside out. And I remember the change. Isn't that amazing? That after all these years, I still remember the change. I remember how things were that night in that church where I gave my heart and life to the Lord. Their whole life is changed, not just a part of it. Their whole life. Everything, in fact, we sing a song about old things pass away, all things. You know that song. Old things pass away and all things become new. We know that. We've heard that. There were a lot of people who were converted in the Bible. This just happens to be Paul here. We know the story of the Philippian jailer, don't we? He was a converted sinner to a Christian. We know about the Ethiopian. We know about Cornelius. We know about Lydia. We know of all these people in the Bible where the word was preached to them and they were changed and gave their heart and life to the Lord. It just simply means they turned from the direction they were going to turn to God. They were restored is another word. Turned and restored and experienced the regeneration of a person who was to a person who is. Here are a few things that people are changed from. Maybe in these three things, it could be that you experienced them all, or it could be that you just experienced one of these when you got saved. Maybe you don't remember either one of these. It's okay. We do know that you knew you were a sinner, right? You come to the age of accountability where you knew that you weren't right with God. You did not have a relationship because you had not repented of your sin of unbelief. It's not the sin of all these little things we attach on later. It's the sin of unbelief. Everything else follows. The sin of unbelief is what takes a person to hell, and getting saved is what takes a person to heaven. But here are a few of the things that we're saved from. And this just could be one. Maybe you didn't recognize either one of them. A life of religious indifference. A life of religious indifference. In other words, religion doesn't amount to a hill of beans with you, no way, shape, form, or fashion. You just don't care. Let all those religious folks just go on. And by the way, Christians are known as religious folks. I don't want to be known as a religious folk. I want to be known as a saved individual. Call me saved. Don't call me religious, okay? Because there's a lot of religions. But if you're saved, it's okay to make that your religion. If you're saved first of all, then that becomes your religion. But if religion is just you're indifferent to it, don't want to have anything to do with it, just let them do their thing and you do your thing, maybe that's where you were. Or maybe you were a self-centered person whose life was just material things and what material things could offer you. Maybe that's where you were. That's where a lot of people are today. It is. I see it all the time. And I see how important material things are to people. And we gauge ourselves as to how successful we are by how many of those material things that we possess. That also does not mount to a hill of beans with God. How much you possess or how much I possess. It doesn't. But I don't want anything in my life that deadens my sense of God. But that's what material things can do. So be very careful that you're not placing your life in the hands of materialistic things, because it will deaden your sense to God speaking to you. And Saul would have said, hey, if he's going to talk to me, he'll have to get around all these things because this is who I am. And this may be who you are. Maybe you're deadened to the spiritual sense of what God has given you. I don't know. Or maybe you just were total mean, evil. Maybe you were sensual, open to sin and shame and disgrace. And you didn't care one way or the other. Maybe that's where you were. Well, I got news for you. You got to turn from these things, of course. But if you were in any of these or all three of these, Paul was much worse than you. He was. You say, well, that makes me better then. Oh, no. Don't go there with me, okay? Because that's not where this is going. Paul was terrible. But we've got to be awakened from where we are to where God's going to take us one way or the other. If we're going to be converted, if there's going to be a conversion of us to be what God wants us to be, we have to totally awake to this new belief that God's going to give us, and we have to internalize it so that it changes us to what He wants us to be. God has a purpose for you, but until we believe on Him for the salvation of our soul, that purpose doesn't mount to a hill of beans. We're getting into a lot of beans today, aren't we? Well, let's take a look at Paul here today, okay? We're going to just take a good look at him. I've got to show you what he was before I can show you what he became. So here's what he was, and I know that every time we think of him, we never think of him in his life of Saul. We always think of him in his life of Paul. And we say, oh, to be more like Paul. And I would like to be a lot like Paul also. But I'm not Paul. God knows who I am. He knew who Paul was, and he didn't want you to be a Paul. He wants you to be whoever you are. Everybody say your name. That was weak. Aren't you proud of it? Would you rather your mom had named you something else? Now, this time, is everybody awake? Say your name. I heard a lot of mumbling. Was that some of you who couldn't remember your name? Okay. But you mount to that hill of beans for God. You do, and He's got a purpose for you. So let's take a look at Paul and put him where he was, and then we're going to put him where that God wanted him. You know, Paul had a physical problem. Did you know that? Even though he was a good guy later, and he was one of God's chosen, we know that. He had a physical problem, and he is probably one of those physical problems where if we knew it, we'd say, bless his heart. You know, that's what we say about folks who have to deal with physical problems a lot. We just say, bless their heart. Well, this might have been a guy that you would have blessed his heart. But now you tell me if this was a guy you would have said, bless his heart. Here's what the Bible says about him. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Bless his heart. Right? Oh, no. No. His personality was not one you would have hung around, and it wouldn't have been one you would have introduced to your daughter, I guarantee you. He had a terrible personality. He was a very hateful man. I mean, a guy who's breathing out threatenings. I've probably threatened a couple people in my life. Have y'all ever threatened anybody? I always look to see who's smiling first. Because it's the ones who are smiling first. Now you're really laughing. They're the ones. You've threatened somebody in your life. If you do that one more time, your kids. Goodness gracious. You've threatened them before. But he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. Now you probably have said that too. I'll kill you. If you don't do what I tell you to do, I'll kill you. You've said that, haven't you? Well, this was really true. This man was slaughtering Christians, folks. He didn't care. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter of the disciples of the Lord didn't mean a thing to him. He was persecuting the church. He was bent on persecuting the church. If you were a Christian, you better keep your eyes open and your head turned because he was after you. And he would have taken you to the Colosseum, put you in there, and let the lions out on you. That's what kind of man he was. He was a sinner. You say, well, I would have never done that. Well, he was a sinner. But he had a belief that you also would not have believed. He believed that Christ was a blasphemer. You would never say that, would you? He believed that Christ was a blasphemer and that Christianity was a cult. That's where he was. You got to know how bad he was before you can know what a good job God did with him when he changed his life. Saul would intimidate and even murder to get rid of those who were Christians. I don't like to be intimidated, but more than that, I don't want to be murdered. Do you? I don't. But this is what this man was doing. That's exactly where his life was. He was persuaded with a passion. I don't think Paul ever did anything without a passion. That's why I like him. He was as much a sinner as he was a saint. When he was a sinner, he was a good one. And he was as evil as they come, and he would have done anything to have killed all the Christians. That's where he was. But he was persuaded with a passion that Christ was a cursed individual. And we know why, because the Bible says that if you hung on a cross, you were cursed. And he would say he was cursed. And I don't mean just that he had this awe about him that he was cursed. No, he was cursed. He was a cursed individual. That's how he felt about him. So where was he going down the road to Damascus? What was going on with him when things took place with him? He never changed. He hadn't changed a bit. He was probably getting worse. The more Christians he killed, the more he wanted to kill. By the way, it's the same with us. The more evil we get, the more evil we get. And the more evil. Because, you see, that's not something that goes backwards. It's always something that steamrolls. It's like a snowball effect. The more we go in the wrong direction, the more wrong we get. By the way, it's the same way the other way. The more right you go, the more right you get. You You see, I know it's easy for us to say about people, well, they just get more evil all the time. Wouldn't it be good to say, boy, they just get more right all the time? Huh? Wouldn't you like for the folks to say that about folks from Liberty Fellowship? Man, they just seem to be getting more right all the time. Well, if you're going to get right, more right all the time, it's got to be from the Word of God. It can't be what you conjure up to be right. It can't be what somebody else says. It's got to be what the Word of God says. So if God's got a plan for you, it's right here in the Word of God. It's not what I say. It's not what I do. It's not my plans for this church. It's what you read from the Word of God and what you internalize from what you read and make it a part of your life. Now that we know how bad he was, now you don't feel so good about him right now until you understand that he is converted. Let's talk about his conversion. What was the manner of his conversion? How did it happen? I love to talk about how it happened because, man, there's been so many songs written about Paul and how he made that change from Saul to Paul. It's wonderful, isn't it? How he was changed. Well, let's take a look at him and see what happened. What was revealed to him when he was going down the Damascus Road? Every time I ride up into Virginia, and I'll either go up to Mountain City and back into Damascus, or I'll go to up the interstate and turn back into Damascus. I like going through that Damascus on up to Mountain City, and that way it's just a great ride up there. Anyway, if you're going up through there, if you go off the interstate and hit that road, there's a Damascus Baptist Church out there. Y'all know about it? Damascus Baptist. Every time I go by there, I'm thinking, well, now, wonder where Paul fell. Oh, come on. Are y'all with me? Anyway, I just thought of that Baptist, Damascus. What a great name for a church, Damascus. They could go out and get people saved, and they'd be falling all over that Damascus Road, wouldn't they? But here's a man who was going up the Damascus Road, and something was revealed to him. There was such a light that hit him. Now, I've got lights at home that are really good. As I've told you, I've got those lights that you buy that you pay more than you would a regular flashlight. I want to blind things when I turn them on, you know? Well, here was a light that came to him that he had never seen before and would never see again. It was a light from God. Don't try to explain it. You can't. Because it knocked him down. That's what the Bible says. And then he heard a voice that he had never heard. And this was an audible voice. This was a voice from heaven. And I know you've seen movies where they use this big voice, you know, like it's God speaking. I don't know about all that, but I do know that this was a voice he had never heard and a light that he had never seen. And what it was, it knocked him down and it got his attention so much that all those things that he had heard in the past. Remember, he was Jewish, he was Greek, he was Roman, he was everything. This was an intelligent man. He knew a whole lot, folks. He had read scriptures. He had read all this. You say, well, how in the world was he the way he was, knowing and being so intelligent? Well, evil does that. Sin does that. This old nature does that. You're not good because your mom and dad took you to church. You're not ready to go to heaven simply because you came to Liberty Fellowship a time or two. It may help you, but it's not going to get you to heaven. But here was a man who was the worst of all, and a light came from heaven that struck him down. A voice came from heaven that talked to him, and he says, who are you? He recognized that somebody was talking to him. Well, there was probably a lot of things that he could have said. But he said, I'm Jesus. Is that what he said? I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Boy, did he turn that around on him. You see, Saul was just persecuting people. He was persecuting neighbors, friends, family. He didn't care. They were just people. But God said, no, now wait a minute. You need to get this right. I'm the one that you're against. If you're in your sins today, your life is not against your family. So don't feel bad that your family would like to see you saved and you're not saved yet. Forget that, okay? Because that's not what's important. You don't answer to your family. You don't answer to your friends. You got to answer to God. And you're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. It's not going to be any belief, any denomination, anything like that. It's going to be Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So he says, who are you? And he says, oh, I'm Jesus. I'm the one that you're persecuting. And as he lay there in the dust of that old Damascus road, he was so humbled and changed to his very core. I like saying that because I know where the core is. Don't you? He was changed to his core. Everything now was changed. He was not the same as he was ever. Not in the least. So God had put Jesus, the one that spoke to him, God had put him on the throne of the universe. But Saul that day put him on the throne of his heart. He couldn't have put him anywhere else and it made a difference. He was throning him in his heart. And if you haven't given him that place in your heart, then you have not given him your life. You have not been converted. Remember, conversion is the inside out. And as long as God gives me breath to preach this, I'm going to preach it that this is the way it is. A subtle change is not going to save you. It has to be drastic. And they use that word in the conversion of vans. They say a drastic change. And that's what it is. It's a changing completely inside and out. And if you've been changed completely inside and out, then you can sing that song, I'm saved, and I know that I am. I'm saved, and I know that I am. I'm saved, and I know that I am. Now you tell it. I'm so glad I know that I am. Y'all don't sing, do you? I'm going to have a lesson. So as bad as he was, he could be changed. And as bad as you were, you weren't like him, but you were as bad as he was, because it's a sin of unbelief that keeps you where you are. You may not have killed anybody, sent anybody to the lion's den. You might have done none of that, but you were just as bad, because sin is sin. And you need to be saved because you were a sinner. Now you can possibly say, I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. And that's a good way to put it. But you were a sinner who was saved, converted. What does it mean, this conversion of Paul? What did it mean for him? What changed about him? Well, the Lord gave us a very good description of that in verse 15 and 16. And you don't have to look down, but if Brennan could put it up on the board, verse 6, 15 and 16, that would be good. You could look up here and see it, and then we'll see what he says. Here's what the Lord said that he was. And by the way, this is the same for you. When you're a converted sinner, if you were a sinner and you're saved now and you've given him your life and you've internalized that new belief inside of you, here's what you are. You are a chosen vessel. You didn't choose yourself. He chose you. You are a chosen vessel. Does that make something special out of you? It does. Now, don't get the big head, because that's not where this goes. He chose you because he wanted you. We are chosen vessels also. You are. Then he goes on to say that he was to bear his name before the Gentiles. Now, nobody wanted to do that job. Nobody. You did not want to let the Jews know that you were the bearer of good news to the Gentiles. And he had to deal with the Jews, didn't he? He did. And he that wouldn't have been a job he would have been so proud of, except that God had changed his life now. And when he saw Gentiles, he saw now where he was chosen to be. And that was to be a voice to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad for Paul? I am so glad because now I know that I'm saved because of that same message that came to Paul. It came to me, and I'm saved because my belief that I accepted from His Word, I internalized that, and it changed me forever. By internalizing it, I just mean I gave it access to my heart and soul. It's what you got to do. And when you do that, you're going to be changed. But He said He's going to bear my name before the Gentiles, but not only to the Gentiles. And this is a place where we have a hard time, and that is to the kings. We have this belief that Christianity is for poor people and people who are not very educated. I see some of you shaking your head. That's not so. And it's not so. But isn't that the way a lot of Christians think? Oh, I could never go in and speak to a king. Oh, I could never go in and speak to a doctor about his relationship with the Lord. By the way, me and my dentist, he's a doctor. Me and my dentist have the best conversations about the Lord ever. He's a good Christian man. And your doctor may be or he may not be. But is it good for us to say to him, do you have a relationship with God? Is it okay to do that? It is. It is important that we do that because nobody is exempt. Do you think that God is a respecter of persons? Absolutely not. He died for doctors. He died for lawyers. He died for Indian chiefs. Just thought I'd finish that. He died for all. He died for the poor man. He died for all of us. See, none of us could do anything for Him, but He died for us. And he told Paul, you're going to take not only my name to the Gentiles, you're going to go to the kings. But then it even gets harder. Because of what he said. He said, you're going to witness about me to my own children, my own Israelites, the children of Israel. You're going to take this word to them. Why would you take that word to them? They were his children. Oh, but they not to them. Not to them. Did he have a tough job? Mercy, yes. He was not only go to the Gentiles where the Jews didn't want him to. He was going to speak to kings who they probably didn't want him to either. But then he was going to bring the word to them, and they also could be changed. God has a place for us. He has a place for us in this world, and that is one that will bear his name to everybody that we come in contact with. He even said one time, if you're ashamed of me, here I'll be ashamed of you in heaven. And I don't want that, do you? No, so he's given us something to be. God has determined your course of life. He has. And he predetermined Paul's course of life. And on that road to Damascus, Paul found out what it was. Did he know everything he was going to do? Did he know every church he was going to start and every Gentile he would win to the Lord? Of course not. This was just a starting point. By the way, you may have just started your Christian life. I don't know. Or you may have been 20, 30 years into it. I don't know. But I can tell you this. If you've not been where God wants you to be, get with it. This life's running out, folks. It is. We have lost two wonderful people in our congregation in just the last couple months. Did I say that for a reason? Just so that we could understand how quickly it can happen. And we don't know, do we, who? So I can ask you this question, though. Why were you saved? And you might say, well, for my own reasons, I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. Not a good answer. Not a good answer. You don't make a decision to miss hell. Oh, you'll miss hell. You make a decision because of love. You recognize the love that he had for you when he died on that old rugged cross and shed his blood so that you could one day believe and be saved and go to heaven. And that he gave you the opportunity to make sure others went with you. The key thing there is others. We need to be witnessing all the time. All the time. Let it be our life. Don't let it be an add-on to our life. Let it be our life. Converted. Aren't you glad you're converted? Yeah. Let's pray. Now, there may be someone in here this morning who does not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you don't, I'm going to meet you right here at the front. If you'll walk out of your seat and walk forward and say, you know what? I've been to church a lot in my life, but I have never nailed it down and committed my life to the one who died for me. And I want to do that today. I want to fall in love with Him. God in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for the message. We thank you for this time of worship. Lord, I just pray that you'll touch the lives of those who need a complete change, a conversion. And for us, Lord, who have been converted but not carrying your word to everyone, Lord, I pray that we'll make that decision also. But Lord, whatever the decision is today that we need to make, Lord, I pray that we'll make it today before we leave this building. And we praise you for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
What does he say? I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by... Well, if you don't believe that, you're not listening to him. Right? Oh, I'm done. See you next week. Hello, Todd. Donnie, how you doing, son?
You're fine.